Right. Can you hear me? Yep. Okay, I've got some questions. I better put my glasses on so I can read them. I can answer some and I can't answer the others. But Graham is here, Graham Slater. He's been involved in the Regent. And David Walsh, our manager, who would be able to answer some of them, he's gone on holiday. So I can't even phone him. All right, so here we go. Are there many similar-sized venues in New Zealand? Yes, there are. We were just talking about it before. You've got the Civic in Auckland. You've got the St. James in Wellington. You've got the Opera House, slightly smaller in Wellington, also a historic theatre. You've got Christchurch has got one.
Theatre Royal Christchurch.
Thank you, Theatre Royal. I couldn't remember what
Saved
it was.
Yeah.
Oamaru has, I think, has one. Dunedin has got one. And Masterton has a Regent that was built by the same fellow.
One in Danny Burke
has got a big one.
What's something called the Regent in Danny Burke?
Possibly. I don't know whether it was built by our man, though. Because Regent was a very popular name at that time.
Yeah,
historically. So, So yes, there are other big theatres in New Zealand. Palmerston North is lucky because our Regent is the only major large-scale theatre between here and the nearest ones would be, is it Hamilton or something? No, they haven't even got one like that. So we're quite well-placed for a tour. That's what I guess I'm trying to say, yeah, for a large-scale tour. Is it too large for regular use? It depends on what you want to call regular use. It's certainly not too large for massy graduations, for school concerts, for Dean McCarris's dance thing, for World on Stage. No, for the work and the shows that the Regent has, it's the right size. We're lucky in Palmerston North that we have other sized theatres for other things, and that's the way it works. Yeah, I mean, at Centrepoint, Kate Louise was talking about she liked it because it was an intimate theatre, so they're not too worried about the size. And we have the Globe Theatre, and I hope you patronise that as well. It has a terrific programme of all sorts of music, but if you look at the audience there, if that's three quarters full, you can't start putting those shows in the Regent because the Regent will be empty. You put the shows in the Regent that fit with the Regent, and you put the shows in other places that fit with that. So at the moment, we are receiving enough requests, either for local hire or international hire, that the Regent is used 90% of the time. The time that it's not used is immediately after whatever pre-Christmas concert happens until about the end of February, when Palmerston North goes dead and people go on holiday, and on the whole they don't normally go to the Regent round about that period. Isn't that right? So everybody can have a holiday then, but except for David, who's programming ahead. So I don't think that it is too large for what it's supposed to be doing. Before the Regent, was there a theatre showing silent movies? Eek! Yes, there were lots of theatres in Palmerston North, weren't there, historically?
Yeah, there was one in Colman Place. There were at least four early cinemas in the city that were silent movies.
Yeah. You know, when I said that, there's a lot going on in Palmerston North. To my mind, Palmerston North is a cultural hub and always has been. So I don't care what people say about Palmerston North. There's always been a lot of arts and cultural activity going on in the city. And if you do your research, you'll find it's right from the beginning, right from the formation of Palmerston North as a town, city. There were choral groups, and there were this, and there were that, and the halls were built so that people could have their concerts. So it's a great training ground for the arts as well. So yes, not only cinemas, but everything. And as I said when I talked about the Regent, a lot of our early teachers of dance and music came here because of the theatres. And in the 30s, starting to lose their jobs, as cinema took on and live theatre started to lessen, you know, there was less of it, and so they started teaching dance or music or whatever. Memory of the Regent. I miss the waterfall curtain, which used to play. Yes. Yes, I think that we have talked about how it would be lovely to get that all happening again. I think it's on some sort of agenda that's a long agenda, because the most important thing is doing things like replacing ropes that could be dangerous. You know, there are priorities. Not a question, but we would love to hear about your involvement in dance. You have to put that in another one. I understand that the wall on the right side facing the proscenium was found not to have any steel reinforcement and consequently had to be rebuilt. I don't think the building, when it was originally built, had any steel reinforcement. I wouldn't know. This is David's territory. What I do know is what I said. From the proscenium arch back, it's a new building. They had to put that fly tower in because otherwise you can't lower your scenery in. But also the council bought all the property down Regent Arcade in order to be able to have enough width either side of the stage, because actually they had built it more as a picture theatre, and there was very little room to come on and off stage. And we have the ballet company there, and you know, you're talking 30 dancers. You have to have that space, and all the dressing room area is all brand new. There wasn't much dressing room space, and David Walsh had a story that when they did Godspell, was it Jesus Christ Superstar? One that had John English in it at the Regent, yep. They had to have buses and caravans on King Street so that they could get changed, because that was before it was renovated. Now it's got 9 dressing rooms, star dressing rooms for 1 or 2 people, through to ones that'll take about 16, 20 people. Downstairs, same level, and then also upstairs. So a lot of work was done, and they're beautiful. I mean, by theatre standards in New Zealand, they're clean and tidy and got showers, lots of toilets, you know, it's all good. Anything to add to that about that building down the side?
My understanding is they bought the buildings down both sides, because the Rangitiki Street side, there were a couple of shops on there.
Bank. They bought the bank, yes. So they could put the loading bay in. Yeah. That's correct, yeah. Yes. For some years, I attended dancing classes on the second floor level above the theatre entrance. How are these facilities used now, and are they important? Are they an important source of revenue for the theatre? Yes, they are. I mean, obviously, hiring the dance studio, which was renovated, and that used to be a billiard hall, and so they had to take out a pillar that was there so that you're not banging into it all the time. So J.C. Williamson wasn't dumb. The front part of the building were commercial buildings that he hired out. There was a dentist, there was a pool, snooker parlour and all that sort of thing. So that all now belongs to the Regent. And yes, they are hired. There's a Regency room which can be hired for functions, and I think the board is looking at renovating it a wee bit, because that's not a historic building, even though it might look like it is. It isn't. It's all part of the rebuild. That would work. That's the end of my questions. Not a question. Yeah, no, that was about the dance. And I'm not going to dance for you now. I've spoken enough. Any other questions?
I'm Brian Collis. I came to Palmerston North in 1970 and was free, so I went to the Regent Theatre and saw Never on Sunday.
Oh!
But, so I got the idea that it was a cinema. Mm. But once I'm settled here and so on, I'm making the point here all through this series that's, as you say about Palmerston North, that you're not just going to things, you find you're in so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so I've done the whole ins and outs of that and the Opera House, yeah.
Mm.
But shocking thing about the new building to me was Saturday night you go to a concert of a string quartet on the stage and there's an Irish pub right on the wall there.
Yes, yes.
Well, the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra playing Scheherazade competed with them, I remember once. But why did this happen? It's very disconcerting.
Well, I suppose you ask the council because they own the buildings and they hired them. I don't know. I mean, it's an entertainment area. And I don't know. I haven't heard a thumping from the Irish pub coming into the auditorium. But I must say that we have the same problem elsewhere. You can go to Centrepoint and be in the middle of a very tense part of a play and then suddenly you hear the fire engines coming. Or you can be at the Globe and a cop car can go past in the middle of something. So we have that problem. I guess if you had to soundproof it, it would cost a fortune.
But Saturday night is their noisy night.
Mm.
And that's where so many things are programmed.
Well, no, but then that might be because the symphony orchestra or the quartet, that's the only night that they can perform in Palmerston North, so there's no changing, you know what I mean? Like, there's very little room for negotiation.
Well, the symphony orchestra gave up on coming here most of the time.
Mm.
But that they never choose Saturday night for Palmerston.
No, but I mean, I must say that the programming really depends on the tour manager of the group. It's not our manager that decides that. We hire, they program their tours. So the ballet company could come here on a Monday, and that was the ballet company's choice, not our choice. Yeah.
Just a yes no answer. Can the Regent still show movies?
Yes, it can. It's still got the old equipment up the top there, but most movies are shown digitally now, and we do have that capacity. We haven't done it recently, but business-wise, it is proper for us to negotiate that with the movie place over the road, because there's very good relations within Broadway, the different businesses, and you don't want to be stepping on each other's toes. We have a nice relationship with the movie place, in that for Matilda you would see that they projected images on the radio. Well, we had to get permission from the cinema people to do that because the projector was in their building. We have thought of reinstating after Saturday or Sunday afternoon movies in the winter for fun. And there was a time when the Regent did things like showed the Rocky Horror Show as a movie and people would get all dressed up and sing along. So we have toyed with that idea. In fact, we had it all ready to go and then COVID struck. So we haven't got back to some of those ideas now because it's taken a wee while to recover from that period. But yes, they're good ideas. Yeah.
Yvelle Page put on an opera series of movies one time.
Yes.
Old movies with cuts all the way through them.
Yeah.
And that's very disconcerting when trying to.
Well, the equipment is there, but it would have to be cleaned in order for it to be working. Yeah.
Could you say a bit more about Friends of the Regent? How many people are involved?
I don't know how many. How many would be in Friends of the Regent?
Well, I'll say about 100, but I don't think that's quite right. It's around that.
And they're still looking for people to join.
And one of the things that the money that they get goes to the for the expenses, but also it funds new equipment. Like they put in a whole lot of sophisticated lighting equipment and things like that, sound equipment, stuff that they've got
Yeah, you're looking at hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And the main activity is in supporting the events at the time, or are they out fundraising?
No, what they do is enough to fundraise. It's the ushering and the manning of the womaning of the bar and the ice creams and, I mean, there's a lot of work.
And we've got FPOS now too.
Mm.
Oh, it's gone.
Yes.
And that was a big thing.
Yes, they've moved into modern technology. Yes.
Tanya, I'd also think one of the kickers in this city for anything in the live performance department is the stock cars. Because if you're sitting at Centrepoint and there's a quiet going on and they start a race at the stock cars, you're part of it.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's the same with the region. I mean, if somebody's touring a show and they book it a year ahead, they don't know that there's an Irish band going to be playing in the
No.
It's just per chance.
Yeah, and we've got no control over the programming of the pub. And to some degree, they won't have some control over who might be touring, for example. So it is all it could be the perfect storm of noise, or it could be just perfect.
And in audiences, are you drawing from a very wide area or mainly Palmerston North?
The audience surveys that they do show that people come to the Regent, depending on what the occasion is, from Taranaki, from Hawke's Bay, from Whanganui and from Palmerston North. Mm. Of course, if it's graduations, it could be anywhere. Mm. And if it's schools, it's local. So it depends entirely upon the show as to what the audience is. But some of the big shows that come through, people will come from out of town. And occasionally, you will get people coming from Wellington to see the ballet in Palmerston North because they couldn't go on the dates that it was in Wellington. So you get that type of thing going on as well.
Okay. Any more questions? Last chance. Okay. Well, on behalf of everyone here and from U3M and O2, thank you very much for the
time
and effort you've put in and the fascinating presentation.
Good.
From us. Ooh. One voluntary group to another, that's what we are.
Lovely.
And a little thank you from us as well.
Excellent. Yes. Well, can I do a quick commercial?
Yes, you.
All right. Okay. I'm not going to talk about my dance, but I do teach in the morning you can go to Square Ed website if you want to know about my classes. But anyhow, I am involved in another history project, and we're about to have an exhibition opening at Square Edge. In the gallery there on the ground floor. It's called Untold Stories, World War II Displaced Persons Who Settled in Palmerston North. We open on the 29th of June and we close on the 23rd of July. And it is six personal stories. So I roped in my colleagues from school and university, all of whom we've got either one parent or two parents who came here after World War II. The majority of them then went to Pahiatua camp. This is after the Polish children. But that's why we've called it Untold Stories, because nobody seems to know about this period. And so we've got an exhibition of personal photographs of their stories, of what they did in Palmerston North. There's a film that will be in the FX cinema, which is just off the gallery, little cinema, and there will be a book as well. So I guess I'll tell you to look out for it, and I'll send Stuart more information. But it's open, it's free, and on the Saturday there will be a community event where you can come along and hear us talk about some of the stories, and then that Saturday, the 29th in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, the library is hosting us for a panel discussion on the project, and then after that, the research challenges that we faced in doing it, like finding out that there are records on our parents from their police interviews prior to their naturalisation process, which are still under hold until 2065. So we've had to go to the ombudsman and all sorts of things to try and get documents on our parents. So it's been a really fascinating project, and we've learned so much. in the process. So I hope that you will come along and enjoy that. And while I mention Square Edge, go to the exhibition now before it closes and have a look at the 70s protest photographs. They are amazing. And that's only on for another week, I think. So you have to get in there and
find yourself in the pictures.
Yeah. And even if you don't agree with some of the protests, look at the fashions, for heaven's sake. That's me.
Okay. Okay. Just to wrap up, I'd like to thank Crossroads Church for the use of the venue. Thank all the speakers for the excellent contributions that they have made. All the U3A committee and various other members of U3A who've been fantastic in all the support and backup and arrangement here, and the teas and the publicity and the setup of the chairs, everything else. It's a whole team effort with everybody pulling their weight very much, and things just run smoothly because of that. And also thank you to all of you, the audience, because if you weren't here, it wouldn't be happening. Okay, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.